but intercourse.
Thank God. I could work around that. All right. I won't sleep with you for 4 weeks, starting today.
Even if I change my mind in a few weeks.
She was obsessed with keeping my cock out of her pussy, but why was it so important to her? Refraining from sex just for the sake of it was stupid as fuck. There shouldn't be a timing threshold for a good lay. When I first met her, I thought she was different than the others. I assumed she thought for herself and lived by her own rules. She lived in the moment and didn't care what anyone thought of her. Maybe I was wrong about all of that. Or maybe I was missing a key factor in the situation. Even if you change your mind. If I didn't have my own agenda, I would just break my promise the second she asked me to fuck her. But if I could show that kind of restraint when a naked woman was underneath me, then she could agree to being suspended above the floor while I wrapped her legs around my waist and fucked her. She got what she wanted, and I got what I wanted. She finally relaxed now that the dumbest conversation in the world had come to an end.
I'd like a ride if you're still offering.
Baby, I'm always offering. I walked her to the door and pretended not to feel uncomfortable by the place. Just a moment ago, a tattooed gangbanger walked down the hallway with baggy pants and an oversized jacket, probably hiding a delivery of crack. He gave me a threatening look before he kept going, and he only lived a few doors down from her. I couldn't let her live there. I wanted to buy her a flat in Manhattan so she wouldn't have to commute to work. I even considered asking her to move in with me. She could pay her rent by fucking me from the second I got home until the second I fell asleep at night. I didn't voice my concerns because I knew how she would take them. She was stubborn and wouldn't appreciate my bossiness just yet. But I could only keep that side of me at bay for so long. It was the bulk of who I was, a dom that always got what he wanted. She got the door unlocked and invited me inside. The place was smaller than her office, with a bedroom, kitchen, and living room all condensed into a single room. The only door in the place led to the bathroom.
Would you like something? A glass of wine?
I just wanted to make out. No, thank you. I locked the door behind me and tested the door while she was turned away. At least that was secure. The idea of some asshole bothering her pissed me off so much I thought about kidnapping her. She walked to the wall and grabbed a tiny rope hanging from it. Once she pulled it down, a queen-size bed emerged, with the sheets, blankets, and pillows on top. The only furniture she had was a small armchair, and we both couldn't fit on there, unless she sat in my lap. And I wouldn't mind that in the least.
I know it's small, but it's cozy.
She pulled out a table from nowhere, then rearranged the picture frames on the surface. One was of her and a few girlfriends, and another was of her and Christian. She sat at the foot of the bed and looked at me expectantly.
Do you want any water?
No. There was only one thing I wanted to do. I'd been dancing around her for a while, and now that the ground rules were laid, I wanted to get down to business. Those lips were mine. Both pairs. When I reached the bed, I grabbed her by the waist and tossed her backward until her head hit the pillow. Her eyes widened like she hadn't been expecting me to throw her like a doll. I crawled up her body and immediately separated her thighs with mine. Her dress rose up to her hips, but I didn't look at her panties, even though I wanted to. I grabbed both of her wrists, then pinned them over her head. She didn't fight me, but looked at me with the same arousal in her eyes. Her green eyes shined a brighter shade, looking like large leaves in a jungle. They became lidded as she stared at my mouth, her lips desperate for mine. There were so many things I wanted to do with her, but I didn't know where to begin. So I started with her mouth. I pressed my lips against hers and kissed her so hard her mouth would be swollen the next day. Her soft lips felt amazing against my mouth, and when they moved with mine with the same hunger, my spine stiffened. My cock immediately hardened in my slacks, and I pressed it against her clitoris, wanting her to know how much I wanted her. I wanted her so fucking bad. She tried to move her wrists away from my hold, but I kept them firmly planted against the sheets. She was mine, and she didn't even know it. When I wanted her to touch me, I would let go, but for now, I was the one in charge. Our lips danced together and increased in pace. For the first time, I gave her my tongue, and hers immediately greeted mine. Her mouth tasted sweet, like the wine we had over dinner. Our embrace grew in intensity, and I found my hips rocking into her, dry-humping her like a fucking teenager. Why did I make that goddamn promise? Her hips slowly grinded against mine, her desire directing her body. Her legs hooked around my waist, and that didn't help matters. Now I just wanted to fuck her even more. I want you so badly. The definition of my cock continued to rub directly against her panties, and I wished we were skin to skin. But I could make her come this way. In fact, I could make her come anyway. She breathed into my mouth when she paused our kiss.
I want you too, Calloway.
My spine shivered when she said my name, and I pictured her screaming it as I fucked her hard into the mattress. I preferred to be called Cal, but I loved hearing my full name on her lips. Her naturally husky voice made it sound so goddamn sexy. No one else could pull that off. I grinded against her harder, pressing right against the most sensitive part of her nub. I moved her wrists together so I could grip them with a single hand before I moved my other hand up her thigh, feeling the silky, smooth skin. My fingers dug into her thigh, gripping her harder as I pressed her deeper into the mattress. This juvenile foreplay was far beneath me in my sexual experience, and the last time I dry-humped like this was in 8th grade. After that, I graduated to fucking hard in the back of my pickup. But somehow, it felt like the sexiest thing I'd ever done. I wasn't inside her, but it felt just as good. I flexed my ass before I thrust my hips against her, trying to feel that friction of her sex against the shaft of my cock. The more we moved together, the better it felt, and the amateur nature of the act turned me on even more. I would never resort to this with other women. I only did it with Rome because that was all I could get. It felt so wrong that it felt right, and I knew I was going to come in my slacks, like a fucking teenager. She tried to free her wrists again, and this time I allowed it. I wanted to see what she would do with those hands. She cupped my face and kissed me harder, her fingertips digging into my hair. Now she was sweaty and out of breath, clinging to me in desperation. She was on the edge of an orgasm, a gift from me. Sweat formed on my back underneath my shirt, then trickled down. I could strip my clothes away and hers, but this felt so much dirtier. We were so hot for each other that we were making this work, enjoying it as much as we would enjoy actual sex. It only excited me for the real thing, the moment I would finally fuck her. Now I knew she would be a heathen in the sack. Once I had her hands chained behind her back and I fucked her in the ass, she would adore it. I could envision the fun before it even began. Her hands moved to my shoulders next, and she dug her nails hard enough that I could feel them through my shirt. Slowly, they migrated down to my ass, and she pulled me harder into her, wanting my thick cock to press into her with more force. Fuck, that was hot. You want my cock, sweetheart? Her face was beet red, and her lips were parted in preparation for an orgasm. She knew it was coming, and she wanted extra friction to make it combust.
Yes.
Hearing that response made my cock twitch. I deepened the angle on top of her, then thrust into her hard, ramming my cock against her throbbing clit. My ass was sore from squeezing so tightly, and my balls were drawing closer to my body as I prepared to come. I watched her tits shake in her dress as I rocked into her, picturing how gorgeous they would be once her clothes were gone. She had a nice chest, and I planned to tit fuck her one of these days. Her cheeks flushed further, and her mouth gaped open as the explosion slowly trickled through her body. Her eyes became lidded as she looked at me, and it was the sexiest thing I'd ever seen. When I was with Isabella, I enjoyed myself immensely. She did everything I asked, even things most submissives wouldn't dare attempt. But even the dirtiest thing with her didn't compare to how it felt now, with Rome. I wasn't even inside her, and I was in heaven. I gave her a final kiss and sucked her bottom lip into my mouth. Come for me. Now. My dominant voice slipped out before I could stop it, but I didn't regret it. Because she came.
Oh God, Calloway!
Now I was going to burst. She dug her nails into my biceps and grinded against me, her face a beautiful shade of pink, and her mouth in the delectable O that I'd wanted to see since I met her.
Yes, fuck!
She pulled me closer to her as my cock slid across her folds. My hand moved under her head, and I fisted her hair like a tyrant. I told myself I wouldn't do that because it was a dead giveaway to who I truly was, the dictator. But I couldn't stop myself. She just came and said my name, and now I was prepared to fill my boxers with my cum, for her. She rode the high until it reached its climax, then she slowly drifted down. Her nails started to loosen from my arms, but she still moaned quietly to herself. Her eyes glued to mine, and that look of satisfaction was worth more than a vault of gold. I grinded against her with a few more strokes until I came with a moan, my eyes glued to her face. I couldn't wait to fill her bare pussy with every drop of my seed. I couldn't wait to claim her as my own. But for now, filling my boxers was good enough. Rome. Fuck. It was the best orgasm I'd had to date, and I almost couldn't believe it. I was 30 years old and I just dry-humped someone. She wrapped her arms around my neck affectionately, then kissed the corner of my mouth. It was full of gratitude, thankful for the way I'd just rocked her world through my slacks. The kiss was delicate and soft, but it made my insides burn with longing.
You're such a man.
The unexpected compliment filled me with warmth, and the sincerity in her voice sent chills down my spine. I didn't know exactly what her compliment meant, but I assumed she was impressed I made her come so hard without actually touching her. I made her feel like the sexiest woman in the world, and I would do that every night.
Chapter 7. Rome. I got there early and set up the kitchen, a ridiculous smile on my face that wouldn't disappear. Calloway was a phenomenal kisser, and his package was impressive. Once I'd felt the definition against my clitoris, I was gone. He gave me the best orgasm I'd ever had. He didn't sleep over like I thought he might. He went home and I hadn't heard from him since. He was supposed to help me out today, but he hadn't shown yet. Hopefully his alarm went off. The kitchen staff arrived and prepared the meal. We were serving chicken and dumplings, rice and carrots, along with a piece of French bread. It was warm and filling, and it would give the homeless some respite from the cold.
Hey, pretty lady.
John came behind the counter and looked me up and down.
Do something fun last night?
He wore the same green sweater covered with stains, and his black pants had holes in the knees. He'd been living on the streets for 10 years, diagnosed with extreme bipolar depression. Sometimes, like now, he was in a great mood. And other times, I couldn't get him to even speak. I smiled so I could keep up his good mood as long as possible. I had a date.
Oh, about time. You're always working.
I know. I need to get out more.
Well, I'm always available if this chap doesn't work out.
I smiled because I knew he was kidding. I'll keep that in mind.
Your services are unnecessary.
The threat filled the room and cast a shadow over everyone. Even the guys sitting at the back table could feel it because they all looked at us. Calloway's voice took on a new tone I'd never heard before. Without raising his voice or using explicit words, he managed to terrify everyone. He looked down at John and silently excused him from the conversation. John didn't stick around after that. He walked into the seating area and joined some of the members of his gang. Their voices fell and they huddled together, obviously talking about Calloway's unwelcome presence. Calloway walked to me, wearing a gray t-shirt and dark jeans. His clothes didn't look old, and I hoped he was prepared to get them demolished with gravy. The irritated look was still on his face when he looked at me, like I was somehow responsible for what just happened. My good mood evaporated like steam. What the hell was that?
What?
He kept a straight face like it was a legitimate question. You didn't need to be an ass to John. He's a very nice guy.
Any guy who hits on you is not a nice guy.
He grabbed an apron from the pile and tied it around his waist. You hit on me.
Not the same thing, and you know it.
He walked away before I could say anything more. He grabbed a stainless steel container full of dumplings and placed it on the food line. Was the conversation over? I joined him at the counter and put one hand on my hip, giving him a fiery look. That was unacceptable, and you know it was. He was just joking.
No, he wasn't.
He dropped the cylinder into the tray, then turned back to me. The red apron was tight across his broad and powerful chest. He probably needed one a few sizes bigger, a size we didn't have.
It's one thing to be nice to someone, but it's another to let them walk all over you. He crossed a line, and we both know it. Small talk is fine, but romantic advances are not.
But it wasn't a romantic advance. He glanced around us to make sure we weren't being overheard.
I'm all about helping people in need. I've been doing it for 7 years, but don't put yourself in a situation where people can take advantage of you, because I promise you, they will.
John was just being nice. Now he's going to be depressed for a few days.
At least he learned his lesson.
He walked away to retrieve another tray. Was this really happening? Last night we had an amazing night. Now we were already fighting. He was a different person than I remembered, switching into a different mode like I had flipped a switch. Whoa, hold on. I caught up to him. Don't insult the people I look after. Don't boss me around and don't treat my friends like shit. You aren't my boyfriend, Calloway. Now it was my turn to march off. He stopped me by the wrist and pulled me into his side with such strength I nearly lost my balance. He looked down into my face, his blue eyes intense with frustration. He practically ripped me apart with just the look.
I am your boyfriend.
He squeezed my wrist harder then pulled me further into his chest.
I don't flirt with other women or let them flirt with me. You'll do the same. End of story.
He pressed a hard kiss on my lips, then released me immediately. He walked off like the conversation didn't just happen, and he grabbed a tray of food before he returned it to the line. Not once did he look at me, dismissing me like I didn't exist at all. After we started serving the meal, Calloway was in a better mood. He spoke to each person as they moved down the line, asking them how their day was and telling them a few jokes to make them laugh. The good-natured man I knew had returned to the surface, directly opposite of the man I just witnessed a few moments ago. When John came down the line, he kept his head down and wouldn't even look at me. "We've got your favorite today, John. Chicken and dumplings." He only nodded and stuck out his tray. I served the food on the plate and watched him move down the line, wishing he would talk to me. He skipped Calloway completely and went to the next person in line to get carrots and bread. I gave Calloway the darkest glare I could muster, hating him for scaring off a man just trying to get by. John refused half of his meal just to avoid him. The guy already had it hard enough before Calloway had to be a jerk. If he really thought John was a threat, he was crazy. Calloway felt my stare because he glanced at me from the corner of his eyes. Then he moved down the line, cutting in front of the nearby worker, and took John's tray from his hand. He piled the food onto the tray, giving him far more than the others, and then handed it back.
Why was six afraid of seven?
John stared at him blankly, still cautious. Calloway continued.
Because seven is a registered six offender.
The corner of John's lip rose in a smile, and finally a chuckle came out of his mouth. Soon he laughed, the kind that erupted from deep inside his throat. He moved down the line, chuckling to himself.
Six offender! I'm telling that to the guys!
He grabbed a piece of bread, then joined the others at the table. My anger disappeared, and I finally gave him a smile. Calloway returned to his place beside me and continued serving the people who came down the line. I turned to him when there was a break in the line, a smile on my lips. Thank you. Calloway said nothing, pretending he hadn't heard me. When the day was over and the soup kitchen closed, we walked out into the freezing cold of the city. Our clothes were dirty, and we needed a warm shower and a change in wardrobe. I was mad at Calloway initially, but when I saw the goodness within him shine, that resentment disappeared. He didn't apologize for what he did, but he tried to make up for it. And in the end, that's all that mattered.
Would you like to come over?
Even with gravy stains on his t-shirt, he looked scorching. His brown hair was a little messy, like he woke up that morning looking perfect but a little casual. The stubble on his face was gone because he had shaved that morning, but by the evening it would return.
I'll make us some dinner.
A warning blared in my heart the moment he issued the invitation. I still wanted to jump his bones and fall head over heels for this man I hardly knew. My gut and my heart were telling me to go all in without any precaution. But something stronger, my brain, was telling me it was too good to be true, and there was something I was missing. He was just too perfect, his jealous tantrum aside. But he promised 4 weeks of abstinence, and I believed he would keep his word. Fooling around was enough for me since he was so good at it. Sure. I'll go home and shower, then I'll be over there.
Why don't we just go now?
I understood exactly what he was implying.
We'll throw your clothes in the wash and you can wear some of my stuff around the house. I'm sure you'll look better in my clothes than I do.
He winked, that childish grin stretching across his face. Did he get tired of being so irresistible all the time?
Or you'll look even better wearing nothing at all.
I pictured him in a penthouse on the top floor of the highest skyscraper in all of Manhattan. Dark furniture that reeked of sexual conquests with a cabinet full of the hardest liquor known to man. His bed was probably made of black sheets that reflected the dim light of the nighttime buildings across the street. But he lived in a house. It was 3 stories tall with oak trees along the front yard. A black gate kept pedestrians off his property, and rose bushes covered in thorns lined the pathway. A large 3-car garage connected to the street behind the house. Since we were on foot, we entered through his front door. Hard wood made of deep cherry wood was underneath our feet, and the entryway table was just as dark. A long red rug led the way into the center of the house. A wooden staircase was to the right, leading to the other 2 floors, and an expansive living room was directly before us. The couches were made of gray cotton, and a large flat screen was on the wall. The entryway alone was the size of my tiny apartment. The kitchen was decked out in granite countertops, black appliances, and a sub-zero fridge with a glass door that allowed you to see everything inside. Fruits, vegetables, lean meat, and almond milk were displayed in the forefront. His diet was clearly strict, but I wasn't surprised based on his incredible physique. The moment I stepped foot inside that kitchen, I was in love. Not with him, but with the room. It was enormous, large enough for him to prep dinner for 20 guests. There was a large kitchen island in the center and lots of counter space on either side. I couldn't stop myself from wearing my heart on my sleeve, and I sighed in longing. This is the most beautiful kitchen I've ever seen. He leaned against the counter, his arms over his chest.
You like it?
I love it. I've always dreamt of having a kitchen like this. He watched me admire his home, his blue eyes never leaving my face. I don't even have a stove. I laughed because it was funny, but it was also depressing. I had to do all my cooking with a microwave and eat takeout for everything else. It was a lifestyle I chose because it was the lesser of two evils. If I wanted to make a real difference in this world and help people, I had to sacrifice a few things, like having a nice kitchen and being debt-free.
You're welcome to come over and cook whenever you want.
I smiled when I realized his motive. You just want someone to cook for you.
Naked, of course. That's a requirement.
I'd have to at least wear an apron.
I'll let you wear panties, but that's it.
He didn't smile to show he was joking. He looked dead serious. My ears started to feel warm, so I changed the subject. This isn't where I pictured you living.
And where did you think I would live?
In a penthouse?
I did for a while, but I like the feel of a house. No neighbors and no elevators. And I like having a yard.
Do you have a dog?
No, but maybe someday.
I could picture him with a black lab or a golden retriever. He seemed like an outdoor pet owner, but perhaps I misread him. He pushed off the counter with his hips.
So, I could make dinner while you're in the shower, or we can both shower and make dinner together.
He closed in on me until my body was pressed against the counter. His hands gripped the edge on either side of me, and he looked down into my face with a hungry expression. He eyed my lips like he was restraining himself from sucking my bottom lip into his mouth. I was already wet. I wanted to see him buck naked. I wanted to see those chiseled lines of muscle I knew were under his shirt. My fingers wanted to travel down, feeling every bump and groove until I found his happy trail between the V of his hips. And I wanted to see that enormous cock that dry-humped the fuck out of me last night. No other man in my life had gotten me this hot and bothered. Calloway brought the desire out of me, pulling it from every pore until I was a dog in heat. Sometimes, I couldn't tell if it was his beauty or his charisma that brought me to my knees. I hated giving head, but all I wanted to do was put that big cock in my mouth and bring him to his knees the way he did to me last night. His eyes scanned my face, searching for the slight hints I couldn't stop myself from giving. He scanned my lips, then my eyes. His gaze turned to my chest, watching it rise and fall at a quickened pace.
I want to see every inch of you.
With his eyes glued to mine, his hand moved to the front of my jeans and unbuttoned them before he yanked down the zipper. Then his hand slithered down my front until he found the cotton fabric of my panties. His fingers gently explored, feeling my lips as well as my clitoris. He took a deep breath as he explored me, and once he secured his fingers over my clit, he rubbed it in a circular motion. My knees wobbled because his fingers felt so good. With immense experience, he rubbed me off just the way I did to myself when I was alone. Like he was a woman himself, he understood exactly how I wanted to be touched. I gripped his arm and held on as he set me on fire. His fingers moved farther back until he felt the soaked fabric just below my pussy. He moaned quietly from deep in his throat, recognizing the moisture that pooled just for him. His jaw became stern and his neck corded with arousal. His breathing picked up just the way mine did, both of us deep in mutual arousal. I wanted him to fuck me. I almost asked him to. His long fingers pulled over my panties before they pressed directly against my clitoris. The pads of his fingers were rough, but they felt good against my slick nub. He rubbed it with more pressure than before, and he nearly brought me to an orgasm right there. "You're so beautiful when I touch you." His finger slid farther back until he reached my entrance. He slowly slid them inside, feeling the resistance of my small channel before he finally squeezed through. He clenched his jaw in pleasure, loving how soaked I was deep inside. "Fuck, you're tight." He slowly moved his fingers in and out, lubing them with my own arousal. "It's going to be hard to get your fat cock in there." He took a deep breath and practically winced in pain, his fingers buried farther inside me. He pressed his face against mine, his lips right next to my ear.
"Be careful, baby. Keep it up, and I might not keep my promise."
I wasn't one for dirty talk, but this sexy man turned me into a horny woman. "Maybe I don't want you to." He winced again, burying his face into my skin and gently nicking my flesh with his teeth. What was wrong with me? He picked me up and pulled my legs around his waist as he carried me upstairs. We went to the third floor, then entered his dark bedroom. A gray comforter was on his king-size bed, and he laid me down on the surface before he stepped back and undressed himself. He pulled his gray t-shirt over his head and threw it across the room. His chest was exactly as I imagined it would be. His pecs were toned and strong, and his shoulders bulged with intricate muscles that were chiseled by the hand of God. His hips were thin and narrow, and his happy trail was cleanly shaven into a single line down into his jeans. He unbuttoned them and took them off, standing in his boxers. His thighs were thick and powerful, looking like tree trunks that were strong enough to combat a hurricane. A spot of moisture was at the front of his underwear, where he'd been leaking while he fingered me. He grabbed his waistband as he stared me down, and then slowly he pulled them down, practically giving me a stripper show. Inch by inch, his length appeared. The head of his cock was thick and swollen, a shade of red and blue from the blood that rushed down there. He kept going, showing more and more of his steel shaft until he reached his trimmed balls. 9 inches of pure man with an impressive girth. He belonged in a porno. My mouth went dry and I couldn't think straight. All I could think about was getting that cock inside me and wondering if it would even fit. He would stretch me until I tore, and while it would hurt, it would feel so damn good. He wrapped his fingers around his shaft and cradled his cock.
"On your knees."
I didn't let anyone boss me around, but the second he gave the command, I obeyed. I moved to the rug and folded my knees underneath me, knowing that thick cock was about to fuck my mouth so hard my throat would be sore tomorrow.
"Take off your shirt."
I pulled it over my head, sitting in just my bra. He positioned himself in front of me.
"Suck me off. Lots of tongue and lots of hand."
His hand wrapped around my hair until he had it locked in a tight fist. He pointed his cock against my face and unleashed another command.
"Get to work, sweetheart."
I opened my mouth wide and took his length deep into my throat. It was the biggest one I've ever taken, and it was so salty and sweet. I loved the way it stretched my mouth, practically unhinging my jaw. The saliva pooled from my cheeks and seeped out of my mouth because I couldn't contain it all. It poured down my chin and to my neck. The harder he pushed in, the more spit spilled out. He thrust into my mouth, his eyes on me the entire time. Just like that. His other hand moved behind my head, and he continued to thrust into me hard, not an ounce of gentleness within him. I wrapped my hand around his shaft and pumped him as I moved him into my mouth, growing more turned on the longer I tasted him. His pre-cum leaked into my mouth, and I could feel it across the back of my tongue.
Touch my balls.
My fingers moved to his sack, and I massaged the tender area as I sucked his cock into my mouth. I breathed whenever the opportunity presented itself, but he didn't give me a lot of time. His cock was rammed deep inside of me most of the time, and no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't get it all in my throat. He was simply too long, and I was too small. But that didn't stop him from thrusting and gripping me at the same time. His harshness should have bothered me, but it was just the opposite. I loved how aggressively he wanted me, how much he needed to relieve the sexual frustration I caused. After the dirty things I said to him, I couldn't blame him for needing to fuck my mouth like this. He stared into my eyes the entire time, his thigh tightening with every thrust he made.
Swallow.
He was about to come. My pussy clenched at that knowledge, and I wanted his seed in my throat and my belly. I'd never been so eager for a man's cum, but I desperately wanted it now. When there was a quick moment to breathe, I spoke, "Give it to me." His hand dug into my scalp, and he released a loud moan he couldn't contain.
"Fuck."
He shoved his cock far inside me, forcing my head into his crotch so he could insert as much of his length as possible. Then he came, squirting his hot seed into the back of my throat and practically making me choke. He gave me so much, dumping ounces as it slid down my throat and into my stomach. When he was satisfied, he finally pulled his softening cock out of my mouth. He looked at me like he had never seen me before. Awe and desire were heavy in his stare, and it seemed like he wanted me even more. He threw me onto the bed and yanked my jeans and panties off until I was bare underneath him. He didn't waste time examining me or studying my naked pussy for the first time. He shoved his face between my legs and sucked my clit so hard I almost came. The slight stubble from his face rubbed against my inner thighs, and just like I imagined, it felt so goddamn good. My hands dug into his hair, and I pulled his face farther into me, loving the amazing things his mouth was doing.
Callaway.
He sucked my clit harder into his mouth, then drove his tongue deep inside my pussy, tasting all my arousal. It came in a flood, and I was so slick I couldn't have taken his cock if he tried to shove it inside me.
I'm gonna come.
His hands reached up and squeezed my tits through my bra, his mouth still sucking and licking my pussy like he was starving. He ate me out, lapping and enjoying the area like a feast. He circled my clit harder, and with a burst, he pushed me over the edge. I arched my back across the mattress and pulled his face farther into me. Yes! Yes! My fingers nearly cut his scalp, and my nipples were sharper than the edge of a knife. I saw the cosmos and the heavens as I fell into the euphoria. It was so good I could barely breathe. I gasped for air, but it was never enough. I was in a moment of pure bliss. Not thinking, only feeling. Callaway pulled his mouth away when I was finished, his lips covered in a film of my arousal. He moved over my body,
kissing my stomach and my chest until he rested on top of me, his lips hovering near mine. "You're a beast." He kissed me softly on the lips, in direct contrast to the hardness he had just shown me. "Just like me."
Chapter 8. Calloway. She had work in the morning, so she didn't try to sleep over, which was a relief. I could hold off on sex for 4 weeks, as impossible as it seemed, but I couldn't share my bed with someone. That was a hard limit, and there was no way around it. If she really wanted to spend the night, I had a spare bedroom for her to use. But since our relationship was different than the usual ones I had, it would be a difficult conversation. I hoped I could avoid it as long as possible. I went to Ruin late that night to check on a few things. I couldn't walk in during the day because I was needed at Humanitarians United, so the late evenings were the best time. And if I kept seeing Rome, the only way I could run my business would be when she was at home and asleep. I felt dishonest not telling her about my other business, but at the same time I didn't think it was any of her business. She'd only shared a small amount of her past with me, so I didn't feel obligated to expose more of myself to her. Besides, she would never understand. When we fooled around last night, she surprised me with her aggression. She said the dirtiest things I'd ever heard, words that made me so hard my dick actually hurt. And she sucked dick like an Olympic contender. Maybe she would understand Ruin if I gave her a chance. But now wasn't the time. When we started fucking, I would have a better idea of whether she would be a good fit or not. She seemed open-minded, intelligent, and she had a distinct talent when it came to foreplay, so it could work out the way I wanted. She would be such an incredible submissive. I let myself get carried away a few times. One instance with John, which I knew was a fuck-up. Rome was pissed at me until I played nice with the guy. And the second instance was when I treated her like a submissive and commanded her to suck my dick. Thankfully, she went with it. But I had to be more careful from now on. If I came on too strong, I could push her away entirely, and I couldn't afford to lose this woman. She did incredible things to me. Just a simple look was enough to get me hard. No woman had ever had this hold on me. No woman had ever made me abstinent for 4 weeks. It was a record. I moved through the crowd of dancers on the floor and passed the bar before I headed to my office in the back. On the way, I saw Jackson grinding up against some woman in a gas mask. I hoped he wouldn't see me. Of course he did. "I was wondering when you would show your face in here again." I walked inside and ignored him, unbuttoning the front of my suit coat before I sat down in my leather chair. "I was wondering when you would come up for air from that friend of yours out there." He fell onto the couch facing my desk, wearing a navy blue suit with a vest underneath, black and blue. They were the two colors we usually wore. We looked so much alike people couldn't tell us apart sometimes, but I always wore black, and he always wore blue. That usually helped people. "How's she doing?" I assumed he was talking about Isabella. We had words, she pissed me off, end of story.
"What about the beginning? And the middle?"
"Nothing substantial. Isabella pissed me off. She became emotionally attached, and now she was haunting me with her baggage. I never deviated from our agreement, she did. But somehow I was to blame for it. She's upset with me, and she'll be upset for a long time."
"It's because of Rome, isn't it?"
I didn't like it when he said her name, far too possessive. I wanted to be the only man to ever say her name, but of course that was ridiculous, until she became my sub. Then I could give her a whole new name altogether. She blames her for ending our relationship. I explained that wasn't the case, I would have left anyway. She doesn't see it that way. Women are jealous. No way around it. If she expects me to feel bad for her, I won't. She could threaten to jump off a building and I still wouldn't do a goddamn thing. I'd been a prisoner once before, and I wouldn't go down that road again.
It was one of the reasons I lived a life of dominance. No one could cage a beast like me.
What now?
I shrugged. I tried to find her a new dom, but she didn't want one. She's on her own now.
I wonder if she'll come back in here.
Hope not. I hoped I never saw her again. If Isabella was mature about our breakup, we could have remained good friends. I still would have respected her and cared for her, but this childish behavior made me question the entirety of our relationship. Like a smokescreen, it made me wonder what we truly had.
So, how's it going with Rome?
He leaned back and crossed his legs. I didn't discuss personal shit with my brother, but I knew he wouldn't stop questioning me until he got his answers.
It's all right. She doesn't want to have sex for 4 weeks.
What?
His jaw dropped.
Is this a cruel joke?
I wish. No.
And you agreed?
Because I was a madman.
Yeah.
He continued to stare at me with a shocked expression.
Is this woman ever going to be your submissive, or is she just a regular woman?
She will. I just need some time with her. If she wants to take it slow, I will.
But why? Why wait? Find someone else.
I didn't want anyone else. We fool around, so that's fine.
But why does she want to wait? What's that about?
I still didn't have an answer to that. Not sure. She didn't elaborate. He crossed his arms over his chest, his blue eyes focused as he tried to find the answer on his own. He should leave the thinking to me. He snapped his fingers, like he found the answer.
She's a virgin. She's gotta be.
I nearly laughed because it was ridiculous. Trust me, she's not.
How would you know unless you fucked her?
Believe me, she's very experienced. She gave me the best head I've ever had, and she talks dirty like no one else.
But what if she is?
I didn't mess with virgins. I popped a few cherries when I was a teenager, but never since. There was always emotional attachment, and the women expected it to be some grand adventure they would look back on with fondness. She'd think it was the beginning of a long relationship, possibly with her husband. No way in hell I would mess with that. She's not. With that declaration, Jackson backed off.
Then why?
She said she wants to take it slow. That's all I know.
Sounds like she wants love and flowers, and we both know that will never work.
I got that impression as well. She wanted a knight in shining armor, a prince charming. Maybe that was the case. But once she trusted me, I could show her a new life she never considered before. She would love it, and become immersed in the darkness. Together we could be a dom and a sub that fulfilled every fantasy that crossed our minds. But I had to be patient and wait for the right time. She'll change her mind, if I give her enough time.
And what if she doesn't?
The answer was simple. I'll walk away.
You would really walk away from this woman?
He raised an eyebrow incredulously.
Because you broke off your relationship with a beautiful woman and stalked her like a madman, I don't think you can give her up that easily.
I felt something special for this woman, there was no doubt about that. But if we couldn't come to an agreement about this, I would have to walk away. There was no way around it. I can, and I will. I stopped by her office on my lunch hour. I'd thought about her all morning and couldn't get her out of my mind. While I was hungry for food, what I was really hungry for was her. I stepped inside and spotted her sitting at her white desk. A mug was on the surface, with the string from a tea bag hanging over the side. Her hair was done in nice curls, and her green eyes were glued to her laptop. She wore a white dress and dark pantyhose on her legs to keep them warm. She looked up like she expected to see a customer.
"I'll be right with you,"
she faltered when she realized it was me.
"Oh, hey, I wasn't expecting you."
I wanted to keep her on her toes, to never know when I might drop by and take what I wanted. I walked to her desk, then leaned over the wood, giving her a soft kiss on the lips. "Hey." Last time I kissed her, I could taste my cum on her lips. Now they just tasted like raspberry lip balm. She visibly melted underneath me, affected by my touch just the way I was affected by hers. Her eyes grew heavy and lidded, like she wanted to be alone with me in a cold and dark bedroom.
What a nice surprise.
I wanted to see if you were in the mood for lunch. I gave her a dark look, telling her what kind of lunch was on my mind. It wasn't Mediterranean or Italian. It was the sweet and salty entree right between her legs. I didn't mind eating pussy, but for some reason I loved eating hers. It was so fucking sweet, like pineapple. She caught my drift immediately because her cheeks blushed.
As appetizing as that sounds.
The door opened, and Christian walked inside, wearing a designer suit and tie. He looked like he belonged on Wall Street, with his perfectly styled hair and clean-shaven face. He wore a thick jacket to fight the cold, his black dress shoes still shiny, despite the sludge of the city.
Wow, I never thought I'd be so excited to see another dude.
He extended his hand and shook mine.
So, you're seeing each other?
Rome looked mortified by her brother's intrusion.
Yeah.
I returned my hand to my pocket. It's been a few weeks.
That's so goddamn awesome.
He fist-bumped the air.
My sister is finally not a loser.
Not that I should care, but it pleased me she hadn't been hot on the dating scene. The fact that she made an exception for me told me I had a serious chance of getting what I wanted, and I wanted to be her one and only dom.
Shut up, Christian.
Rome packed her laptop in her bag and stood up.
Otherwise, we aren't going to lunch.
Christian turned to me.
You want to come, man?
The exuberance in his eyes told me he wouldn't take no for an answer. Since he wasn't related to Rome, I could have been a little threatened by him, but it was bluntly obvious he had no attraction toward her. Somehow, he really did see her as a little sister, which was why I liked him, immensely.
He can't,
Rome interrupted.
He's got plans.
Plans with you? I turned to her, the corner of my mouth raised with a smile. I knew exactly what she was doing. She didn't want her brother to embarrass her more than he already had, but I wanted every piece of information about her I could get. Maybe he would spill some secrets during lunch. I couldn't miss the opportunity. Now she glared at me.
It's settled then.
Christian clapped his hands once and turned to the door.
Let's go to that deli just down the road.
He walked out and waited for us outside. I looked at Rome, loving the irritated look in her eyes. After you. I gestured toward the door, waiting for her to walk out.
I apologize in advance.
She walked past me. For what?
For making you witness my brother's murder.
I was beginning to notice a pattern. Just like Rome, Christian ordered a salad. A tiny-ass salad with some chicken on top. Rome did the same, and they split a single bag of chips. They both ate every single morsel off their plate, wiping it clean. What the fuck? I ordered a large chicken sandwich with avocado and all the produce, and it was so delicious that I felt bad the other two were eating rabbit food. Christian worked on Wall Street, so I knew his eating choices weren't based on money. Then what were they based on?
So, getting pretty serious, huh?
Christian eyed us back and forth from his seat on the other side of the booth.
Christian, don't.
Rome had a distinct warning in her voice, but not enough to stop him.
What?
He asked in mock offense.
I'm just curious. If the guy's been around this long, he must be really into you. Why else would he put up with you?
I really liked this guy. I thought brothers were supposed to be protective and caring, but he was nothing like that. He pushed Rome to do things she wouldn't normally do, and not once did he give me an interrogation about my intentions, my income, or my relationship history. He just accepted me, for exactly who I was.
Just mind your own business, all right?
Rome threw the empty chip bag at him.
It barely flew through the air before it came drifting down harmlessly. Christian eyed it with a smug look on his face.
Ouch.
She rolled her eyes.
Just be cool, all right?
I am,
he argued.
This is the first guy I've seen since...
Is that Scarlett Johansson?
She pointed over his shoulder toward the door.
Oh my God!
He snapped his head toward the door and jumped up in his seat.
Where? I need to ask her to marry me. I've been meaning to get around to it.
I chuckled under my breath. Rome sighed when she'd accomplished what she set out to do. When Christian realized the actress wasn't there, he turned back around.
What the hell? Was she really there?
Yes,
Rome lied.
She must have walked by already. You know, New Yorkers are fast.
Damn.
He slammed his hand on the table.
My future wife slips out of my grasp.
You said the same thing about Blake Lively and Kate Beckinsale.
I'm Mormon, he said. I can have three wives.
Now I actually laughed.
Like you're man enough,
Rome said under her breath.
Oh, I'm man enough.
Christian pointed his thumb into his chest.
Just take my word for it. Patricia has been calling since our date in the bathroom. The ladies always want more.
Well, Patricia was a whore, so that wasn't surprising.
Let's change the subject before I throw up,
Rome said.
Good idea.
Christian faced me again.
So, am I going to be seeing you around for the near future?
Christian!
Rome was about to smack him. She grabbed my arm.
Just ignore him. I swear, he's just trying to embarrass.
Yes. I looked him in the eye as I spoke. I'll be around as long as Rome wants me. Her hand immediately loosened around my arm, taken aback by what I said. Christian nodded with a smile on his face.
Awesome. So, like, should we do something together? Get to know one another?
I'd never met family members before, but Christian was there the night we met, and I actually liked the guy. There was no way around it, and I didn't mind getting to know him. Actually, we were a lot alike.
Sure. Cool, Christian said. You want to go to a strip club tonight?
Rome narrowed her eyes at him.
You aren't taking Calloway to a strip club.
Not my cup of tea, anyway. It wasn't a line to get Christian to like me. I really did prefer clubs like Ruin. Women didn't dance around for you to see. Instead, you went and grabbed what you wanted and dominated. That was the kind of pleasure I enjoyed.
Lame, Christian said. Just when I thought I liked you.
I chuckled.
You want to go to the Yankee game with me and some friends tomorrow night? He asked. I've got an extra ticket.
I didn't follow sports religiously, but I enjoyed them.
Sounds cool.
You really don't have to hang out with him,
Rome said.
It's not a big deal.
I want to.
Rome clearly wanted to keep us apart, but I wanted to get closer. The best way to dig up dirt on her was from someone who knew her better than anyone else. Christian nodded in agreement.
Rome, I really like this guy. Keep him around. And give him a real chance.
A real chance, huh? That was interesting. She doesn't have a choice. She's stuck with me. I wrapped my arm around her shoulders in the booth, keeping her tucked under my arm, like I owned her. Rome's cheeks tinted, and she tried to hide her smile. She should take my words literally, because that was exactly how I meant them.
Chapter 9. Rome. You need to chill out. I brought the bottle of wine to the tiny table in front of the couch in my apartment. I popped the cork and poured two glasses, sitting on the floor while Christian sat in the chair.
Me? No.
He swirled the wine before he took a drink. I'm serious. I like this guy.
I know.
He waggled his eyebrows.
He's a stud.
Stop checking him out.
I'm not. I just have a healthy respect for good-looking people. If he wasn't seeing you, I'd ask him to pick up girls with me.
Dude, we would dominate every bar in Manhattan.
Women with their best friends would be lining up to take a ride on the Pony Express.
Vomit filled my mouth like lava from a volcano.
Don't be gross. I'm your sister.
I'm not being gross, just being myself.
Christian